Palmer, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, July 1902. Palmer. My dear brother, I am deeply interested in you and your family. I have a message for you from the Lord. You are in danger, as some others have been, of depending on appearance to create an influence in your favor. My brother, you should dress becomingly, and you should have a comfortable home. But you are never to forget the lessons of self-denial taught by the great teacher. In the night season, I was listening to words spoken to you by one who never errs. He looked about the rooms of your house, and speaking very solemnly and with great earnestness, he said, "These furnishings are expensive. Much might have been saved by purchasing something not so rich or costly. These things will not increase your influence for good. You should have in your home all that is necessary for the preservation of health, but less expensive furniture would indicate a desire to be in harmony with the faith of the Bible. Do not think that in order to have influence, you must put on an appearance of influence and wealth. Thus saith the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Isaiah 57, verse 15. "If any man will come after me," Christ said, "let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whosoever doth not bear his cross cannot be my disciple." Luke 9, verse 23, 14:27. Let us follow where Christ leads the way. Identification with him, this is what gives us the credentials that show that we are workers for him. It is the express duty of all believers to live with simplicity. Money saved is worth as much as money earned. My brother, you do not value money aright. You spend it freely to gratify your own inclinations. Money is of value, and for you to spend it needlessly, to gratify an inclination for expensive clothing and costly furniture, is to set an example that turns the lame, those weak in faith and moral courage, out of the way. You cannot be in sympathy with Christ unless your practice is in harmony with his teaching. Do not strive to emulate worldlings by following inclination in making purchases for your home, when money is so much needed in the cause of God for the saving of perishing souls. You see this need, and it hurts you to think that you have not money to give to the Lord. Do you not see that you would have more to give if you practiced economy in your home? You are too self-indulgent. Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow more closely in the Savior's footsteps. Before you spend money, ask yourself, "Can I not save this money? I will deny myself for Christ's sake. He gave his life to purchase eternal life for me. I must imitate his self-denial. It was by the sacrifice of himself that the Savior placed at my disposal the riches of his grace. He was under no compulsion, no obligation to give me his favor. Had he withheld all from me, it would have been no more than I deserved. The rich treasures that are the expression of his love for me were purchased by infinite sacrifice and unparalleled humiliation. These treasures are the tangible proofs of a love abundant and unmeasured, but I have no claim on them. How deep is my indebtedness to my Savior? How shall I express my appreciation of his bounty, my thankfulness for what he has done for me? You cannot buy the forgiveness and love of Christ, but by a life of self-sacrifice, you can show the genuineness of your gratitude and devotion. By faithful, preserving effort to be his helping hand, you can show that you are endeavoring to honor him by forming a character like him. Temptations will come to you to indulge selfish desires. Yield not to them. Restrain your inclination for expensive clothes and rich furniture. Remember Christ's words, "Wear my yoke. Learn my meekness and lowliness." See Matthew 11, verse 29. In the work in which you are engaged, you have constant opportunity to practice self-denial at every step. Be honest with all men. Take no advantage of anyone. Live economically. Let your life be modest and self-denying. Let your every transaction be such that God will never be ashamed to call you his son. Remember that you are living in the sight of one who reads every thought, whose eyes behold and try the hearts of the children of men. He weighs every action. The Lord has laid upon me a responsibility in your case. I was charged to be faithful in helping you. When in danger, as you now are, I am to give you counsel and encouragement. You have done many things that are wrong, but God grants pardon to all who repent. Come near to Him. Draw nearer and still nearer. As you try to reform, do not stop short of the mark. Make thorough work for eternity. I am instructed to say to you, do not spend money so freely. Remember that money is the Lord's lent treasure. Do not, by an extravagant outlay of means, leave on minds the impression that you have plenty of money. Keep your soul in the love of God, for He has a work for you to do. Be guarded. Be as true as steel to principle. Do not suppose, as you associate with wealthy men, that you are at liberty to spend money freely. It is not dress or houses or lands that measure your worth. Your highest recommendation will be in doing just as Christ did. Study His life. Seek for His grace. All the wealth you could obtain would never bring back the health you have lost through self-indulgence. For some time past, you have been under a terrible strain, brought about by more than one reason. At the meeting held in Nashville last fall, you made every exertion to do all in your power. The effort to accomplish so much was a heavy strain on your abused constitution. You knew how much thought and effort had been put into the work you and Edson had been trying to accomplish, and you were terribly hurt when you saw, by the words and attitude of the brethren, that there was more criticism and reproof than commendation. You did not bear the trial patiently. When questions arose, you would not try to make the needed explanations, and thus put the minds of your brethren at rest. You turned away disgusted, and left on minds an impression unfavorable to you. The wrong course you had taken in the past, in uniting in speculation with men of the world, was used against you. All these things have been a sore trial to you. But the message to me from God has always been, hold Palmer by faith and prayer. There are those who have failed in their stewardship by unfaithfulness in business transactions, but who, instead of condemning themselves, would judge you and turn you adrift. But God has thoughts of mercy toward you, and the word has come to me. Be a mother to him. I will pardon his transgressions if he repents and removes the stumbling blocks out of the way. My brother, do not mingle with the worldly men who will try to secure you to join with them in their schemes. These men would be glad to use you to gain advantages for themselves. You may think that your business transactions have been no more fraudulent than some that have been done in our institutions. You may say that it was the sentiments expressed by some of your brethren that led you to think it right to try, at any cost, to avoid financial loss in business transactions. But this does not make the wrong right. You have been under a charm, which has impelled you to determine to show what you could do. You knew that those in positions of influence in the cause were taking unfair advantages in various lines, and you resolved that you would not do as they were doing. But you placed yourself in society where you were often tempted, and you fell. God looks upon you with tenderness and pity, and His love is exercised toward you. I am instructed to say to you, take every means to remove the impression left on minds regarding your work at the time of the meeting of the Southern Union Conference at Nashville. There were those present who had not wisdom from God to speak words of commendation. They linked together to betray the errors that you had made, and they would, if possible, cut you off from working in the office. Such ones have not the spirit of the great medical missionary, for they would have pushed you into discouragement. They do not exert an influence that is a savor of life unto life. They are not soul healers. The great soul healer has made my duty plain. I am to encourage you and point you to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1, verse 29. Christ desires you to understand that whosoever will may take of the water of life freely. He has rich stores of grace for all who come to Him. His bounty is inexhaustible. He would comfort your weary heart. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Rest is found in wearing Christ's yoke and learning His meekness and lowliness. Respond to His invitation, and you will gain an experience more precious than gold. Less self-indulgence would relieve you of pain and suffering. Brother Palmer, the Lord is willing to lead you, but you must be willing to be led, willing to be a co-laborer with Him. You must walk in His ways and do His will. Christ is the physician of the soul and the body. He will heal your infirmities. But you must do your part. You must do all in your power to rid yourself of the grievous burden that has vexed your soul. You desire health. Then be careful to live healthfully. Your manner of living draws heavily on your life resources, weakening your physical and mental strength. Through indulgence, you have sown in your heart the seeds of spiritual death. The Lord calls upon you to correct the wrongs you have done to yourself. You must reach a higher level of spirituality. All the elegance and wealth in the world could not heal a broken heart, or bring peace of mind, or calm anxiety, or remove care. Honor does not bring happiness. Fame, genius, skill, all are equally unable to gladden the sorrowful heart. The life of God in your soul is your only hope. It will be in you a wellspring of joy. God's promises will be everything to you, for He is the God of all comfort. Christ, the great divine human physician, will heal you and cleanse you and save you if you will allow Him to abide in your heart. Make everything clear with your conscience. Confess and forsake your sins. Separate from your life all that God does not approve. And then take these words as your consolation. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One, thy Savior. Isaiah 43, verse 1-3. Instruction has been given me that Edson White and yourself are to help one another in the work. You are both to stand firm at your posts of duty, praying earnestly that God will be with you. Remember how much the salvation of your soul means to you and to your Redeemer. The Lord desires to raise fallen human beings to the divine ideal. This is His purpose in the plan of salvation. To raise you to this ideal is His one object in all His dealing with you. To achieve this object, He gave His life on the cross of Calvary. His Spirit strives with you, seeking to exalt you to the height that His sacrifice has made it possible for you to reach. He has given you the talent of influence, and He desires to place you where you can cooperate with Him, persuading those in darkness to become children of light, to forsake the corruption of the world for the holiness of God's kingdom. As you obey the Word of God to you, you are doing that which will be a safeguard to your soul, and you are qualifying yourself to accomplish a good and grand work. You have been tempted, and you can tell those in temptation how you were helped and strengthened by the power of God. You can assure them that in innocence alone is found the truest happiness and the greatest blessing. You understand the reasons of our faith. Try in every way to win souls to Christ. Satan's influence is felt on every hand. He works untiringly to confuse the mind and to draw men and women down to a low level, blunting the sensibilities, degrading the desires, enfeebling the conscience, and destroying the spiritual and moral powers. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white, ready for the harvest. What a work you could do by becoming acquainted with the students of the colleges in and around Nashville and helping them to see what is truth. Your acquaintance with the Scriptures will help you to do this work. By kind, courteous words and deeds, win your way to their hearts. Repeat to them the invitation of mercy and the sweet promises of God, which offer forgiveness of sin and a kindly welcome to His love. As you work thus, the hearts of many will be moved. And never forget that a lordly manner and severe reproof have lost many a soul to Christ. There are many souls in perplexity, weighed down by a load of guilt. They want to be delivered from temptation. They have wandered from the springs of true happiness and have poisoned their lives by drinking of the murky waters of transgression. They need the help of a friendly, outstretched hand. Teach them how to reach upward, how to live so that they will gain the respect of their fellow men. Although the will has been depraved and weakened, there is hope for them in Christ. He will awaken in their hearts higher impulses and holier desires. They need words of encouragement that they may lay hold of the hope set before them in the gospel.
You feel suspicion and distrust very keenly, but you are easily influenced for the right by endearing sympathy and needed help. Your experience will be of great value to you as you work for the salvation of souls, and you will have a divine helper close beside you. Speak words that are free from the bitterness of rebuke. Remember that often the last thread of hope has been severed by blame and condemnation. Hold out to the downcast the promises of God's word. They will be to them as the leaves of the tree of life. Patiently continue your efforts until with grateful joy the trembling hand grasps the hope of redemption through Christ. It is those who have been tempted and whose hope was well nigh gone, but who were saved by hearing a message of love, uncoded by rebuke, who can best understand the science of soul saving. Under the influence of their ministry, many prodigals will return to the Father, to present themselves before Him in contrition and penitence. He who has been brought back to the fold, whose heart is filled with love for Christ, has learned how to work for souls. He can point sinners to the Lamb of God. The acceptance of the offer of pardon has gained for him admission into the royal family. He has been accepted in the Beloved. He has given himself without reserve to God. The hand that in his weakness he held out for help has been grasped. Step by step, he follows in the path of self-denial, becoming a partaker of the divine nature. If he follows on to know the Lord, he will be changed into the same image from glory to glory. In this world, in the power of the Redeemer, we may be holy. We may reveal the vigor of spiritual life. As we press heavenward, ever beholding Christ, we are changed into His likeness through the impartation of divine grace. God is able to give us grace for grace, reproducing in us the image of truth, of which Christ is the original. My brother, do not be discouraged, for the Lord has hold of your hand, and He will hold it fast.